10:30, which is right now. Fred Hastings, good morning to you.
G'day, Simon, and hello, everybody. Yeah, it's been a busy week in harness, as it always is these days.
What are some of the news stories to have come through the week?
Well, I guess one of the news stories that was reported in various sections of the press is that New South Wales will pretty much stick with whips post the September 1, the proposed ban date. John Dummers and his CEO at Harness Racing New South Wales suggests that, whips are, perceived as a very essential part of harness racing, and it's more about reform and consistency. And Harness Racing New South Wales held a convention recently which entailed a lot of participants and administrators from every state. And, the big thing is consistency statewide. They want to bring in some rules that will govern the use of whips Australia-wide but be policed by every jurisdiction in the same way. And I think consistency is key. It's something punters yearn. They want consistency. And Harness Racing New South Wales, with their stance on the whip, certainly looking for consistency in that arena.
What are they doing in other states? Are there other places that are thinking about doing away with it altogether?
Well, it was an Australian harness racing edict that from September 1, there'd be no whips anywhere. And Harness Racing New South Wales, we had John Dummersney on a couple of weeks ago, Simon, and you might recall when we were discussing a variety of issues that, he said we want to talk and communicate with our participants and sit down with them and work out what's best. And this is just obviously one of the topics that was hot on the agenda. And the board have come out and said, no, look, we're sticking with whips post September 1, and we will work ways at, administering whip use in an appropriate manner and make it consistent Australia-wide. So that was one of the big news stories. And, of course, Simon, the other big news story, and it's a feel-good story, in many respects, to see how the harness racing fraternity have got behind a young mini trot driver from Victoria by the name of Connor Clark. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a pretty rare illness in one so young, and he's going to undergo a fairly hefty round of treatment. And the harness racing community, to help the family make ends meet and help with transport issues, because I think he's about an hour and a half from the hospital of the treatment. The harness racing fraternity up the eastern seaboard got right behind, and we had Robbie Morris and Amanda Turnbull donate their driving fees on Friday from Bankstown. Rob Morris did the same last night. Jack Traynor and Toddy McCarthy donated not only their driving fees but any percentages they won, and they both landed a winner, so that would have helped. And of course, Greg Sugars, Chris Alford in Victoria, and Shane Graham and Grant Dixon, and Jimmy Rattray, who was driving in Brisbane, also got behind the cause. And there's been a heap of other folk like Garrard's Horse and Hound, Five Star Transport, a host of suppliers to the harness racing industry. They've also got behind. So it's a real good feel story, and take a bow, harness racing.
And a GoFundMe page has been set up for Connor Clark, and the details and the link can be found at the Australian Harness Racing website. Freddie, how was Tabcorp Park Menangle last night? We had a Group 3 on, the final of the Go Girlfriend Series.
It was a good race. We saw Amanda Turnbull with hefty representation in the race, and she had the favourite, in fact, but in the end, there was a little bit of a mini boil over.
30.1 second quarter off the back in the Go Girlfriend final, and the leader is Miss Vera Mack, getting a little closer to Cara Truffle. Waiting on the outers, Tact Rousey, they were followed by Gracie Taljuice, Elder Teresa. It travels up on the inside, three markers, and then Myrona Gold about to start its move. Further back to Quick Income, and Glen and Eyes heads the remainder. They come to the home turn. The leader is Miss Vera Mack, trying hard to Cara Truffle. Tact Rousey's about to bring fresh legs into the race. The leader narrowly, Miss Vera Mack, but to Cara Truffle levels up on the outside and goes for home. Coming at it now is Tact Rousey, Elder Teresa. Miss Vera Max rallying. Takara Truffle's about a head in front. Coming again as Miss Vera Mack. Takara Truffle's just in front. Wins the Go Girlfriend. And Takara Truffle has beaten in second spot Miss Vera Mack, and storming through between runners out of Teresa.
Yeah, so Takara Truffle there at around the $8 quote, winning the Group 3 last night. Freddie, for Goober, the Aaron Goadsby.
Yeah, Goose, he got his first Metro winner. He coupled that with it being his first group winner. He's only got a small team, but he's put a lot of faith in this filly. She's been very good to connections. She's picked up, with that prize money last night, in excess of $60,000 in stakes. She's been to the races on 21 occasions and she's won 10, placed 3. It's a pretty fair record. And talking to Aaron last night, he's probably going to weigh up his options. He's got a few options up his sleeve. There's a few races around for her that'll take her up to the end of the season. And then, of course, the four-year-old season beckons. Look, she's a mare with a bit of filly at the moment, but she's got some depth about her. She had to breeze last night with some solid sectionals, and she was able to outstay them. She's got a bit of bottom to her, and I think she'll make a good race mare going forward with a bit of toughness in her. She's certainly showing signs of that, and well done to all concerned, because as many know, Aaron's our late mailman. He pondered long and hard. He ended up thinking that he would be very hard-pressed to beat Miss Vera Mack. And as it turned out, he made Miss Vera Mack the male based on her Kiwi form and her win at Penrith. But I'm sure that we can suggest that he's happy to have the win, no doubt about that. And hopefully our late male followers took the Quinella, because it was a good win by Takara Truffle. And in the end, she was able to beat Miss Vera Mack.
And in the Christmas in July pace, we saw the favourite take it out, All Black Stride.
Yeah, look, only just. There was a nose. Gee, there was some good racing again last night, and there was a nose finish in favour of All Black Stride. All Black Stride is a sub-150 winner at the track, and, of course, probably in recent times has been finding some of the company it's been racing a bit tough. Did run second two starts back, but finished unplaced behind Tiger Tara. It's placing behind Tiger Tara back in the Group 3 race was pretty solid, and the thing being now with these draws, these good horses, they're always going to draw out wide and under the condition racing, and All Black Stride was able to find the top and then from there had to stave off some late closes, including Major Star, who was a good runner. They only won by a nose. A good finish, Simon, a nose by half a head. Certainly kept me on my toes.
Driver Ellen Rickson is able to join us this morning, Freddie.
Yeah, we did our best to get Ellen last week, but a few communication issues let us down, the phone system. So we've got Ellen. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Ellen, you had a busy week. Of course, brother Will was suspended, so you did all of the stable driving. You ended up with four winners, including two at Newcastle last night, one for Dad Forever Texas. It was a solid effort.
Yeah, no, it's been a really good week for me. Not so much for Will, but it's been really good.
And Summerland Sam was your other winner last night at $22.90. It's been a good season. You're up around 32 wins now for the season. I think last season you had about 24, 25, so you've already surpassed last season. Is that due to anything in particular? Is it you're getting more drives for outside stables, or your confidence is soaring? What's the secret behind that improvement?
I think it's more so confidence and experience, and it all comes down to getting those two, and picking up for other stables as well obviously helps. But I'm glad I've gone past it. I'm just hoping this season I can keep improving.
Onwards and upwards from here, Ellen, I'd say.
That's it, yeah.
Now, you were also crowned recently the New South Wales Rising Star winner, which that obviously would have been a great experience. You're pretty much getting to drive on so many tracks that perhaps some drivers may never get the opportunity to do.
Yeah, I was really lucky to get another crack at it, and it was a great week.
And you get to go to WA, as I understand, as part of their Young Drivers series, as a reciprocal arrangement. We host their winner, and they host ours.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That should be really good.
Because that'll be around Inter-Dominion time.
Yeah, it'll be lots of fun, I'd say, and really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Now, what about the little role you picked up as the ambassador for the Standard Bred Owners Association? I know they presented you with a set of racing colours. Tell us about that and what it means to you to be given that honour.
It's a really good opportunity. So basically they're taking me around to any tracks that they sponsor the races for, and hoping that I can pick up some drives at those tracks, and with any win I can get, they're donating $50 to the Beyond Blue Foundation, so it should be a really good experience, and really looking forward to being able to participate in that.
And you'll be driving in a specific set of colours from now on over the next 12 months?
Yeah, no, they're really nice colours, and you have to keep an eye out for them.
They were presented to you, of course, at Bankstown on Saturday, on Friday. Now, of course, for those in the harness racing industry that'd be well known of your heritage in the sport. But for those that are listening today that may not know, you're from a very famous family. Of course, Dad Peter was the trainer and driver of Divisive, who won a miracle mile about 8 years ago, in fact, 10 years ago now. And, of course, grandfather is the great AD, Tony Turnbull.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I've got a good family behind me.
Do you seek Tony out for advice? And, of course, you've got Mum Cindy, who was an outstanding driver. She's sort of not driving much these days because she's got you youngsters doing all the work. But, you know, do you seek counsel from Mum, Dad and grandfather and all your cousins who are stars in the sport?
Yeah, Mum and Dad have basically been my biggest support behind me. They're always willing to watch replays with me and help me out. And, Grandfather likes to have a say as well. So, yeah, it's really good.
I mentioned Divisive. Do you have memories of Divisive? Because I guess at the time Divisive was racing, you would have been about 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, I remember bits and pieces, mainly the bigger events like the American Mile, because they were just so exciting. He was pretty special to us, so I still remember a bit.
He won the last ever mile at Harold Park, the Miracle Mile at Harold Park, because from 2009 we've raced the Miracle Mile at Menangle. He also ran second in the Inter Dominion, so I'd say that we never saw his best because injury curtailed his career.
Yeah, no, we were still lucky to have him. He's a 1 in a million horse, and let's just hope that me and Will can end up with something as good as him one day.
Now, tell me about the sibling rivalry. Will's burst on the scene and he's making a real good fist of driving. You had a bit of a head start being the older sister, but he's certainly making up for lost time. How does the niggling and the fun banter go? Do you give each other a bit of a stir?
Yeah, I try to just do my own thing, not worry about him, but he likes to definitely stir me, that's for sure. But it's a good sort of rivalry. It's still really enjoyable and competitive.
Who's the better driver?
I'm not going to say that one.
Oh, come on. There was a chance to give yourself a rap, Ellen. obviously you drive a lot of the stable horses. Does Dad sit down with you guys and sort out who drives what, or is it a case of if you're driving at a particular venue, Will goes to the other? And how does Dad sort out who drives what?
We don't really get a say. It's just up to Dad and whoever drives that horse, type thing. And it's more so who puts in the most work as well in the morning to help out.
So you set your alarm bright and early to get under Will's skin, yeah?
Yeah, well, we both love our sleep, so it's a little hard sometimes. But Dad's really even with us, and it's good that Will's having a good crack at it as well. So.
And are you working full-time in harness racing, or do you have a job?
No, I work full-time in private certification, doing admin work as well.
So besides getting up early working the horses, you work full-time, and then you go to the races at night. No wonder you like your sleep.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, and is that a case of being such a young lady that it was important to get some sort of working background behind you in a different arena other than harness racing, so that in future years, if you decide that harness racing's not for you, you've got something to fall back on? Is that the kind of loose plan there?
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, it's good, like, especially while you're still learning, you can't rely on it completely. So it's good that I'm just really lucky to have a good boss. He lets me lead the race and just make up the hours later, so... I've been really lucky. It's all worked out for me.
Fantastic. Well, anyone that says the youngsters aren't keen to get out and earn a crust, there's a good example. Ellen probably gets up at, you know, Sparrows to do the horses with the family, then goes off and works full-time and then heads to a racetrack and could be there as late as 10, 10:30 at night before getting home and doing it all again. So well done to you, Ellen. You're a worker.
Thank you.
With a bit of talent, certainly, that's for sure, in the harness racing sphere. So well done to you. Congratulations on your rising stars achievement, and well done on becoming the ambassador for the Owners Association. It's a real feather in your cap.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Ellen.
Thank you.
Ellen Rickson there. Simon, geez, what about that? Gets up early to do the horses and then has to work full time and then drive horses at night. That's too much hard work.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's good to see someone working hard.
Well, obviously, you know, look, and that you know, the family would be paramount in that whole process, because they're all a bunch of workers. They don't avoid hard work, the family, and I scale that through the entire clan. You know, they all get in there and do their bit. So Ellen's just that's just a byproduct of becoming or being part of that family, I would suggest.
And as they say, good luck is when hard work meets opportunity.
Simon, you've always got an analogy or an adage, I should say, and always got an adage, and that's a ripper. You'll have to send that one to me. Love it.
Now, what else have we got coming up over the next 7 days?
Next 7 days, Simon, we go to Parkes today for an eight-race card. Newcastle tomorrow. I'll be at Newcastle tomorrow for an eight-racer. Menangle eight races on Tuesday, and Wagga have nine in the evening. Bathurst with a massive 10-racer on Wednesday, Penrith Thursday, Young Friday, Newcastle Saturday, and there'll be a Group 3 Tier 1 pace for the Tier 1 horses under the conditioned system, and that'll be a Group 3 race, $30,000. And Kevin Pizzuto is on 95 wins, closing in on his triple figures. Luke McCarthy picked up 100 winners for the season, 90 of which have been in New South Wales. He's still 10 away from the New South Wales triple figures, but Todd McCarthy, he hit triple figures with a double on Thursday night at Penrith.
And the handicapping system now, what, we're 3 weeks into it?
Let me see, first eight, 4 weeks into it, so there's been 4 weeks, and look, it's throwing up results, it's throwing up very close racing. We saw a couple of nose finishes last night. You know, we didn't have the upsets that we had the week before. There were quite a few upsets last week, but this week, you know, we had a few horses. And just an example, one that was sliding up and down the scale was Millwood Liberty, based on some prize money in a lower tier. Just with the prize money she earned, she jumped two tiers and was sent out as a favourite on her consistent form, but just found the class at the back end of the race just a bit too tough. So that's an example where a horse will slide up and down, and that's what lends to some of these results being a little bit wide in the market when a winner scores at you know, fairly wide odds, because they've been going up and down the class scale.
Good stuff, Freddie. We've got Stewie Turner standing by for Chasing Rewinds. We better wrap it up.
I better get going then. Have a good week, everyone.
Catch you next Sunday, Fred.
Thanks, Simon.
Okay, now 13 to 11 in just a moment. Stewart Turner.
At Bingley, for a limited time, purchase any F&P or LG washing machine and get it delivered, plus the packaging and the old washer taken away for free. Only at Bingley and only for a limited time. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Inspiration is in our nature. Our natural environment reflects our character as a nation. Our diversity, our grit and determination, our passion. You can leave a lasting legacy and make a difference in your community. Join Planet Ark and Toyota Australia for the country's largest nature care and community tree planting event, National Tree Day, on Sunday, July 30. Find out more at treeday.planetark.org.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
And Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is with me now. Stewie, good morning to you.
Hello, Simon. How are you going today?
I'm good, Stu. I'm good. Now, we'll probably have one of our last few sort of chasing and pacing rewind sections with you. But anyway, how's the action last night at the Meadows?
Yeah, look, we had the four semis of the Group 1 Maturity Classic at the Meadows last night, Simon. Remember, $100,000 to the eventual winner of this one. And as you'd expect, there was some great action down there. Now, there was a real boil over in the first semi-final with Dinah Jerry taking that one out as a $50 chance from box one. A great run there for Dennis Truin's Greyhound. In the second semi-final, there was an absolutely sizzling run by Mpunga Blazer, winning that one in 29.63. A terrific effort for his trainer, Jeff Britton. Now, Mpunga Blazer is a Greyhound really starting to make a name for himself now, Simon. He's come back superbly from injury. He had a couple of months out before this series, but as I said, he's come back in style, and he looks a big chance for the Maturity Classic final on Saturday night.
Well, let's have a listen to Mpunga Blazer taking out the second of those semis.
racing. Mpunga Blazer to the inside, jumped away pretty well, and the favourite's going to go straight to the lead. It's Mpunga Blazer going clear out of the straight, down and out the first turn there. Would have been Chase and Crackers as they race to the back straight now, and the leader was well clear. It's the favourite, Mpunga Blazer, blazed away about 10 lengths in front over Lady Charlotte, followed by Set the Storm. Then came Slinky Inky, Mr. Meadows, followed further back then by Venge Revenge and Living Street in the straight there. Mpunga Blazer way out in front. This is a big win. Mpunga Blazer easily by about 10.
So Mpunga Blazer winning the second semi there. Was that the quickest time, 29.63, Stu?
It certainly was an absolutely fantastic effort. And as I said, that greyhound was out for a couple of months before this series, but he ran superbly in the heats last week. And then, gee, you can't really argue with what he did last night, Simon. That was a terrific effort. He's got box six in the final on Saturday night, and I think from there he's going to be a big chance. Now, there was a couple of other semi-finals as well of this one last night, and gee, what a run of success Tony Brett is having at the moment. He took out both of those two semi-finals with Fast Times and Opal Nera. Fast Times, of course, spoken about this greyhound plenty on the show over the last couple of weeks. He won the recent Group 1 Winter Cup, and gee, had to work quite hard last night. He had to overcome a valiant run by Aston Dinigan in the semi-final, but he got the job done, and Fast Times again looming as a big chance in the Maturity Classic final on Saturday night at the Meadows.
Racing, Fast Times on the inside, jumped away okay. Aston Dinigan, good speed. Fast Times driving through. Out of the straight, though, Aston Dinigan, the leader. Fast Times second, off the leader's heels there. About 3 lengths away, then came Paradiso Glass, who's third. Over on the outside, then came Aston DB, followed then by Lagoon Red. Racing well back would have been Chalet Palais. Out near the Tower Recurrent, and got one back off the back. Aston Dinigan, the leader. Fast Times tries hard behind them. Then came Paradiso Glass, hit of the straight, though. Aston Dinigan, tackled by Fast Times, who raced to the lead. Fast Times won it. Maybe Aston Dinigan second, just over Paradiso.
Yeah,
last.
Great win by Fast Times there in the third of the semi, Stu. So when is the box draw conducted for the final?
Well, that was actually done last night after the final race at the Meadows there. And looking at it, gee, it's really left it open, Simon. Fast Times will have to do it tough from box eight, although he did win well from box eight at Albion Park in June. I think he's won once and placed once in two previous starts from there. So it might not be a total disaster, but it's going to be tough to win in this field. Opal Nera, Tony Brett's other greyhound, has got box two. Mpunga Blazer has got box six. Well, that's going to make it a little bit tough, but you can't argue with Mpunga Blazer's form so far in this series. And for me, Mpunga Blazer is probably the one to be on in the Maturity Classic. But look, it's going to be a fantastic race at the Meadows. Speaking of fantastic races at the Meadows on Saturday night, they'll also have the Fireball for the stayers there as well. Burn One Down will jump from box five. Burn One Down actually finished second last night in the heat behind Billy's Bake. But even so, Burn One Down, probably the one to watch from box five in the Fireball Stayers Final at the Meadows on Saturday.
There was, I see a rough result in the first of the Stayers heats last night, 20-1 there for Mix Angel.
Yeah, as well, a fantastic run there. But look, that's going to be an absolutely cracking field. You've got Ebby Ripper, of course, the New South Wales hope, who's always a big threat. If she could just get those starts right, she would be such a big danger, would have an even better record. And Dundee Calypso as well for Jeff Scott-Smith. Dundee Calypso has run some super races over these last couple of months. But even so, look, it's going to be pretty tough, I think, to beat Burn One Down. But look, the Fireball looks an absolutely cracking race on Saturday night as well, mate.
So that's coming up, the Maturity Final and the final of the Fireball Saturday night from the Meadows. Jason Lincoln will be hosting trackside for Sky Racing. Now, how was Wentworth Park last night, Stewie?
Yeah, we saw some great racing at Wednesday last night, Simon. And one man who enjoyed it probably more than most was Dean Swain, because he scored a treble of winners. A great effort by Dean there. Look, he won with Watch the Wasp, Midnight Francis, and his super stayer, Stars Alight, as well. Now, all three of these were excellent runs, but especially Watch the Wasp's effort. And that's now 5 wins in 10 starts for Watch the Wasp. And this greyhound really started to come into some great form. And I think this greyhound will be one to watch over these next couple of months. I think this greyhound's got possibly a group win or two up his sleeve. And I think, as I said, one to watch, and got the job done at Wentworth Park last night.
Right.
racing. Watch the Wasp was last away. Fast out in the centre, Nelly Sue, Call Caroli, Ross's Gem, Wide Smoking Road, trying to drive up, and Watch the Wasp looking for an inside run. They jam into the first turn, and Watch the Wasp rail through and led from Smoking Road, and they clear out now from Spring Solomon into third. A gap back to Ross's Gem, one call away. She's a marvel. Well back, Nelly Sue and Call Caroli. Watch the Wasp, and on the outside, Smoking Road. Spring Solomon runs on. Watch the Wasp, the better of Smoking Road. Spring Solomon wide. Watch the Wasp in front. Watch the Wasp over Spring Solomon, Smoking Road.
So, yeah, very solid win there to Watch the Wasp, who was sent out the $1.60 favourite. So you reckon there's a group win in store for this greyhound?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, he's obviously in good hands with Dean Swain. Dean obviously won the Trainers' Premiership for Wentworth Park last year. And, well, judging by last night, he's still going great guns this year. But, yeah, I like the look of this greyhound. I think, as I said, he's got a couple of big wins in him. Look, speaking of super greyhounds as well, there was a win at Wentworth Park last night for Winsome Mission in the night's free-for-all. What a little ripper this greyhound is. We've spoken about him a couple of times over the last month or so on the show, Simon. He's approaching 100 starts, but still beating some of the current best in New South Wales. It'll be interesting to see if he has a go in the New South Wales Championship, which is coming up soon. I know his trainer, Johnny Finn, was maybe tossing it up a little bit, but look, if he does, he'll be a big chance. Winsome Mission still running absolutely fantastically.
So Wentworth Park action from last night. Looking ahead to next week, we've got the Shepparton Cup heats on Monday night.
We do. This is going to be an absolutely cracking series. Some of Victoria's best engaged in here. It's one of those series, Simon, where every heat looks absolutely fantastic. This one over the 450 metres, of course. I'll run through a couple of the names. You've got Landmark, the winner of the recent Group 2 Bendigo Cup. He's got Box 1 in the 8th heat. Ando's Max, the Melbourne Cup winner, has got Box 3 in Heat 6. And Striker Light, this year's Golden Easter Egg winner, has got Box 8 in the 3rd heat. Look, I'm going to go in this series for Uphill Jill, the multiple group winner, of course, still racing superbly. She's got Box 8 in the 2nd heat. For me, she's the one to beat in this series. And, of course, on Wednesday night up in Queensland, we've got the Rockhampton Cup final as well. Look, our pick for this series last week, Split Image, has made it through, has got Box 7 in the final, another greyhound for Tony Brett. What a fantastic time he's having at the moment. Look, Split Image, she won from this box at Rockhampton 3 starts back in a decent time, so she can handle Box 7. And for me, Split Image is my pick in the Rockhampton Cup on Wednesday night.
Okay, what have we got coming up around the state over the next 7 days?
Yeah, we've got loads to look forward to as ever this week, mate. We've got the Twilight Meeting at Canberra today, and then tomorrow it's Nowra, Bathurst and Grafton. Tuesday it's Gosford, Goulburn and Lismore. Wednesday we're back to Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday it's Maitland and Dapto. Friday we've got a packed day. It's Casino, the Gardens, Richmond and Wagga. And then Saturday it's back to the Gardens, Bull Eye and Wentworth Park as well. So loads to look forward to. I'm really looking forward to it as ever. And of course, for your field form and expert picks, it's thedogs.com.au.
Good on you, Stewie. Good to chat to you. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon. We'll talk again next week.
Certainly will. You take care, mate.
We'll take a break at 3 to 11. Shortly, Kilo Rourke to find us a few winners, Canberra. And then we had this race from Del Mar, the world's highest rated thoroughbred, Arrogate, is running in around 7 minutes. The winner of $17 million has won a Breeders' Cup, the Pegasus World Cup in January, and the Dubai World Cup winner as well. So it was ahead of Winks on the ratings, and he's going around at Del Mar in 5 minutes. We'll have coverage of that race. But in just a moment, Kelly Rourke.
Your Greyhound Racing Week, 10 a.m. Mondays on Going Greyhounds with Stuart Turner. Then through the week, get the tab market movers along with interviews with crucial players. If it's Greyhounds, we've got it. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
The Brothers War, dual stakes winning son of superstar sire Warfront, from Group 1 winning Sadler's Wells mare, Moon Queen. His oldest progeny are outstanding weanlings. All-inclusive breeding package for the Brothers War, including stud fee, adjustment, vet and GST, available for $11,000. Contact Angus at Coringle on 0429 842 875.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire, 4-year-old Breeders' Crown, and SA Car. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution, perfect conformation, and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster, standing at Yirrabee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yirrabee.com.au.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda, with 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. Penrith Mazda VT50 Youth Centre with 50 youths on display. Let us package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in our Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer.